I have on my heart this morning the Lord blessing to try to talk to you about God's presence. It's been on my heart now for some days. I hope the Lord will bless me to say something about His presence that will honor and glorify Him first of all. But I also hope the Lord will bless me and help me to say something that can be a blessing to your heart as well. So we're going to look at some scriptures in the Bible that deal with the presence of our God. And if you will turn then with me to page 1342 in the New Testament, I want to read to you a verse, a single verse from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And then I want to read to you about two verses in the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, Matthew chapter number 1, let me read to you verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, that's the presence of God. That God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And then the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, which conclude the Gospel of Matthew. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to you for your felt presence from time to time in our lives. In our earthly pilgrimage, we need to remember and to know that you're ever with us. And so, Lord, help me today to share with your people who have gathered thy words about thy presence. Do it, O Lord, I beg in the name of Jesus, for your glory and for his, but for the edification, upbuilding, and encouragement of your children here in the world. We'll try to give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to mention that in our earlier scripture reading, I read from Isaiah chapter number 7, about three verses, and the last being the 14th verse. And you might have noticed when I read this 23rd verse that it's very, very similar to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which was written, just roughly speaking, approximately 700 years before this passage in the Gospel of Matthew. But it tells us that a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and that virgin, of course, was Mary, and she brought forth a son, and his name was Jesus. And, of course, it mentions here that they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's what I came here for, is for you to understand. Now, in the record in Isaiah chapter 7, you will find it telling us about the virgin will bring forth a child, call his name Emmanuel. But what it does not do for us, that this 23rd verse of the Gospel of Matthew does, this one in Matthew explains what that name means. And it means simply God with us. You see, that's in keeping with what I'm trying to preach about today, God's presence. Jesus came, born of the Virgin Mary, lived upon this earth, walked among men, eventually died for our sins on the old rugged cross, and ascended later back to heaven to be with the Father. But it is through Jesus that God is with us. And And so that's the felt presence of God. And then, of course, in the last verses of Matthew is the Great Commission, when Jesus sent his disciples out to preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But listen to this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the promise that Jesus made to his disciples as he sent them out to preach and teach and baptize was they wouldn't have to do that on their own. He would be with them, and his presence would be with them to encourage and strengthen them. So we're talking about God's presence. Now, I want to go back very early in the Bible, in the book of Exodus chapter 33. And while you're turning there, this has to do with one of the great, great men of God. Man, we know as Moses. And it has to do with God's presence with him. I mean, I can talk to you about God's presence. And there is a term that we use sometimes, omnipresence of God. Long word, may seem complicated, but just simply communicates to us that God is everywhere present at all times. Now, something you and I can't do. Only God can do that. But God can literally be throughout this world, every place on this earth. God is able to be present by his Spirit and power. And yet, here he is with us, there he is with them, the presence of God. But the presence of God is important to us. There are things that we have need of in our mortality, limitations on us that make us look beyond our own abilities and look to God. And that's what this passage here in Exodus 33 is all about. Now let me kind of bring you up to where Moses is. God used Moses in marvelous ways. One of the greatest ways God used that man was he was the leader who led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and captivity. Now, I can't imagine what those people were feeling. I don't know how they celebrated. I don't understand all of that. I've never been in bondage and slavery. But I'm sure they were just grateful and thankful to God. But Moses was the man God used to lead them out. Now, he has led them out, and he's leading them in the way. But Moses has a concern in his heart that we all ought to have. And that is that he feels the need of God's presence. Now let me read to you starting at verse number 12, 33, Exodus. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. That's what God said to Moses. I know who you are, and I've given you grace in my sight. So here's Moses' prayer. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now look at this verse, verse 14. This has to do with God's presence. And he said, this is God speaking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, my heart says that Moses would never have found that rest on his own. He would have always been wondering, is this what God wants me to do? That's humanity. That's depravity. That's our weakness. Well, we often wonder that, don't we? Well, am I on the right track, on the right path? Am I where God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Moses needed assurance. You and I need assurance. And you know what God said would assure him? God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, brothers and sisters, that's what my heart wants to say to you today is, when we have the presence of God, when we know that God is near us and with us, it does something for us. It gives us a sense of peace and rest we can't find on our own. We can't find it in our own capabilities. We need God's presence to give us that peace and that rest. And God knew that that's what Moses needed. And God promised that he would give him that rest. And that rest came not in Moses' capability. Moses was concerned about who's going to walk with me and who's going to help me. It wasn't going to come in that person either. It was going to come in the presence of the living God. God would come near him. And when he sensed the presence of God, there would be rest that would come to his soul and peace. Now, in the New Testament book of Hebrews 13, and there's some debate and argument, I guess, about who the author of inspired scripture of Hebrews is. I've always felt like there just seemed to be a lot about it that made me think of Paul. But I can't stand here and tell you today that I know exactly and completely who wrote it. But I do believe it was written by the inspiration of God. And in Hebrews 13, which is the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, somebody gets a new car and you look at it and say, wow, that's a good-looking car. I sure do like some of the features on that. You see, then our heart says, I wish I could afford one, or I better go check and see if I can get one. Human nature is such that we look at things that others have, and it makes us want them. Somebody builds a new house. Boy, that's a nice-looking house. I bet they enjoy living there. I wish I had one like that. That's the nature of us human beings. So God says, be content with such things as you have. You know, maybe your house is a 3-bedroom instead of a 5-bedroom. But be content with it. For he had said, and here's what he told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, brothers and sisters, there's something far more important than what other people have. Something far more important than us having what other people have. Something far more important to the children of God than just keeping up with the Joneses, as they say. The thing that is of utmost importance to us, and we need to understand this, is that we need the presence of God. You'll never, ever, ever get caught up on, I won't. I don't care how long you live. I don't care what you accomplish. There'll always be something out there you don't have, and you'll always say, I want that. But here's something that gives us more peace than any earthly possession. And God said this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And my assessment of all of that is to say, when we feel the presence of the living God, all those other things won't worry us so much. It won't matter that we haven't got a car like so-and-so's got, or a house like somebody in the family has. That won't bother us, because our minds and hearts will be at peace. You know why? Because the Lord said, I will not forsake you. And to have the presence of God is a wonderful blessing. Kind of been interesting to me in trying to study and prepare to preach this sermon that I found that the presence of God has been with people from the very beginning. Yes, I mean Adam and Eve, all the way to where we are today. Now, let me read to you from Genesis chapter 3, if you'd like to look there with me. This is about Adam and Eve. And it says in verse number 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now that should make us pause and reflect and say, wait a minute. They were in the Garden of Eden. God created man, he called him Adam, took a rib, made Eve. She became Eve, the mother of all living. There they were in the garden, still there. Now they are thrown out of the garden later because of sin, but they're still there at this point in Genesis chapter number 3. And they heard God. They knew God was there. God had come to where they were. And they were afraid. You and I know why. Because they sinned. And they'd eaten the forbidden fruit. That God said, "You shall not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So God is there. But they hide from God because they are afraid. Why? Because of their sin. Now, I think that's sometimes our problem. As God's children in the world, sometimes we don't enjoy God's presence as much. We don't seek the presence of the Lord a lot of times because of something that's not right in our own lives, and we feel condemned to come before God. That's the way it was in the beginning. It's still that way in the world today. But the point I wanted you to get, the presence of God was in the garden with Adam and Eve, the very first people to live on the face of the earth. Now, from that point, that's the beginning point, all the way to now, God's grace is with us. I'm going to read to you from the book of Revelation. 22nd chapter is the last chapter, and verse number 21 is the last verse of the Bible. And it says simply this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with all of you. Amen. So it is and so shall it be. So that's the presence of God. What I'm trying to say to you is from the very beginning, the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve in the garden and God in the garden with them. And when time, the scriptures were completely written as God inspired them, and even beyond that time to now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us all. And that is important because that's the presence of God. I think it's just so important for us to realize how important God's presence with us really is. Really makes all the difference in the world because God's presence is a holy fellowship. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer to it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Look around you. Can you see God? I can't. But He's here. The presence of God is here. You say, well, then what makes you so sure of that? Because of Matthew 18:20. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name," listen to this, "there am I in the midst of them." Count. We don't have a great large crowd. We've got definitely well beyond two or three. "Where two or three are gathered in my name," Jesus said, "there am I in the midst of them." Now, this may seem very basic and elementary, but I think it's important. We have to come to understand this truth. Even though we cannot see God, God is still here. Even though we cannot see God, God can and does see us. What a blessing to be in the fellowship of the living God. And so, I'm trying to make the point right here that if you wait till you see a visible image of God to seek His fellowship and His company and His presence, you're probably going to spend the rest of your life looking. But it doesn't mean that God isn't here just because our eyes can't see Him. He said He would be here. I believe His words. I believe that He is here. And it is a great blessing to my heart to believe that. So even sometimes, you know, in our own homes, we think, well, is God here? Is the presence of God with us in our home? Well, you're not going to see Him with your eyes. But let me tell you, a lot of times you're going to feel Him in your heart. You'll feel a sense that God is there. There is a peace that comes to you, a peace that passes all understanding, and that peace is that God is present here. He's in my home. He's with me. I'm going to make some general observations. No matter where we are, we can be in the house of God, we can be in our own homes, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances of life may be, God is always, always there. He's with us. He said He would be. So, you know, it might be circumstances we consider very favorable. Maybe someone just got a promotion or a pay increase or whatever's made them happy, and they're rejoicing in that. Some others might have run into a hard wall of trouble and trial and tribulation, and yet here's the truth. The presence of God is with us, and it doesn't matter whether circumstances are good or circumstances are bad. God is with us. He is always here. I know that because the Bible teaches that truth. Omnipresent, present here, present over there, that church, all across the world. There are saints of God gathered. Some in huge crowds gathered together to worship God. Some in smaller crowds like ours. But God is still able to be in every place at all times. There's no limitation on God's presence. In the best times of our life, it's easy to think God's with us. It's easy to believe it, you know. I'm sure we can all remember the day of our wedding. I do very vividly, though it's been way over 50 years ago. I still see Vanna in her white dress, smiling in the house of God, where we were united in marriage. That was one of the best times of my life. I remember when our daughter was born. What a happy time. One of the better times of our lives. Our son came along a little later. The best times of your life. All those dreams you had, and when little by little you began to get the fulfillment of those dreams. Those good times. In the best times of life, God's presence is near. But let's turn the coin over and I'll tell you, in the worst times of life, God is still near. And we may not think about it like that, but I think we should, to say, you know, this is a bad time in life. I mean, many of you have had some physical ailments. I'm now experiencing some more than usual, but look at the worst time and just rejoice that God is with us. The Almighty is with us. And that's a great blessing to believe that, because it helps us to know, no matter what we're walking through or going through, God is with us to help us. I know just from a personal perspective, there's just been a lot going on in my life and our life together. And I'll be honest, I don't understand it. You probably have those times when you're sick or in pain or whatever, and you don't understand it either. We all just want to think, you know, well, if God's here, why is he letting it happen? I don't know. But just because it's not a good time in your life doesn't mean that God isn't near you. And in the worst times of our life, we look at and say, that was one of the worst times in my life I ever remember. But I do believe God was there. And you say, well, what makes you think that? He was watching over you. He's been watching over me. I don't understand it. There's a lot you won't ever understand either. But to know in our heart the divine presence of God is there. He's in the dark of the night. He's in the light of the day. God's presence is such a blessing to us every day. When there are tears of joy, or when there are tears of sorrow and sadness, the presence of God makes all the difference in the world. We have the joy of many happy times in life, but sometimes it changes. The storm clouds come blowing in. Sickness, the death of loved ones, many have experienced that in recent weeks and months. But whether it's in the tears of joy or whether it's in the tears of sorrow, to know that God hasn't forsaken us, that he's keeping those words, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My presence, as he said to Moses, will be with thee and will go with thee. It really helps us through those times of darkness and difficulty to know we're not walking alone. No, I can't look around in the dark of night, nor in the light of day. And so there's God right over there. I can't do that any more than you can. But my faith in God and in his word makes me believe that God is with us. I can't see God, but listen, God can and does see us. That's a great difference there. So in times when there are tears of joy, thank God, praise him. When there are tears of sorrow, thank him, praise him, because there's a hope. Maybe a loved one's been called home, but you have a hope in Jesus. Now, he or she's gone to heaven, so there's that hope. He's there with us in it all. And it doesn't matter whether it's now or tomorrow or always. Always and forever, God is real. And his presence in our life is real. Though unseen by our eyes, God always sees us. It's like a person that stands maybe in the shadows just out of your sight, and you're struggling, and you look around and you don't see anybody to help. But there's that someone who's standing over there looking on, and in their time will come to our aid. That's God. That's the presence of God. He always sees us in all our needs. His presence strengthens and encourages and helps us to get through the dark and difficult times of life and pick us up and motivate us and move us in the better and the brighter days of life. He looks at you and he looks at me with the eyes of love and mercy and grace. Please remember this. God is here now. If you wait till you see him, you'll never believe that. But if you, by faith in God and trusting in God's word, you believe his word to be true, then it means that God is timeless. You and I are not. We come, we live out our years, and we're gone. As a breath, we go away. God is timeless. He's with our grandfather, grandmother, mother and father, and others before us. He is with us right now, right here, today. I believe that. And when we are gone from the scenes of this life, and unless Jesus comes first, we all will leave this world in death. but still God will exist. And to our children and to our grandchildren, His presence will abide, will continue to help and strengthen them as He does us. So I just wanted to try to share with you some things that, I don't know, maybe I've just been pondering them a lot in my own heart and life. And sometimes I think, Lord, are you here? Are you with me? Are you listening to my prayers? Do you ever get that feeling? But I can assure you today, as I have assured myself, by the authority of divinely inspired scriptures, by the Word of God, God sees, God knows, God hears, God helps. Yes, in His own ways, not necessarily governed by our wishes and desires, but just to know He's here with me. When I get home, He'll be there with me. Tonight, He'll be with me in the darkness. Tomorrow, in the light of a new day. God's presence is one of the greatest blessings we have in this life. And yes, sometimes we feel His presence more than we do at others. But most of the time, that's due to our circumstance. But just rejoice in the Lord, who is omnipresent, who is with you, with me, with others, and will be with us as long as we live. And God bless you and comfort your heart. And the joy fact of the divine presence of God that helps us through our journey of life. May we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the assurance of your word from Adam and Eve right on to now, beyond us to the end of time as we will know it. You are God, the Almighty, ever present, ever being. Thank you, Lord, for assuring us in your word of your holy presence, what it means to us in this journey of life. Thank you, Lord. Forgive our sins and doubts and fears. Help us to look at your word, be convinced, though we cannot see you, you do see us. And oftentimes you come so near, you stir our hearts within, and you assure us that we're not alone. You're with us. Even when we can't see you, you're still there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your people today in the knowledge of your divine presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.